Marian. They were Hindu. Woo-hoo. Yeah. All right. I have one exception to my diet. I eat animal crackers. Which are white people pretending to be animals.
What's up?
Hello. Hi. Woo! What's up? How are you?
Yeah. Hangover yes. Comedy Podcast. Episode.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes.
Episode. What episode?
Episode 33.
34. Woo!
34. That's the perfect age for Indian family to sue their kids for not getting married and, you know, settling down. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the most Indian. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Because when you're in the 30s, it's very special. Also, the people listening to the podcast, please keep in mind that we are in three different time zones.
Yes, three different time zones. We are in IST for India, which is in Shady, and EST for me, which is like New Jersey, New York. And then our guest is in HST, Hawaii. Which is a time. I didn't even know there's another time zone.
EST.
HST, which is Hawaii Standard Time, though. So
Hawaii Standard Time.
We all look like shit, by the way. So
yes,
if you're watching on video, please go to the audio.
Please, because we barely don't care. This is half about the day. All right.
Anyway, perfect transition. In a few days, it's gonna be Valentine's Day. So,
I love Valentine's Day. It's the same day as It's the same day as celebrating death and love at the same time, because you feel lonely and dying. So, and you're celebrating death with love on Valentine's Day, specifically designed for single people. So I call it the Shag Perfect Day, Perfect Day. Mm-hmm. So it's where you process and you work on your shagging skills on that particular day.
By yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
Because every day has got, you have a day for everything, right? So Valentine's Day is great for perfecting your shag skills. Mm-hmm. Not shag skills. I said shag skills.
Anyway, also both of us are single, so ladies out there.
I don't know why you fucking excited for Valentine's Day. You're fucking
I'm not excited at all. But I do have a question. So like why does everybody give chocolates and flowers on Valentine's Day? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think one great diet. I think a guy who's just obsessed with getting diabetes decided to just wake up one morning and be like, I'm gonna die, so I'm gonna start this trend by just giving chocolates to people, but I'm not gonna tell them that it is gonna kill them. So I'm just gonna make it a trend.
Because here's the thing. Because there are people who are allergic to chocolate, people who are allergic to flowers, and people who are allergic to love. So if you're allergic to all three, it's you're fucked. I
mean, but nobody is allergic to nuts if it is taken the right way.
Okay.
So except for Howard from Big Bang Theory.
There's a lot of people who are allergic to nuts, actually, though. Like there's a whole thing of peanut allergy and everything that. So.
But Kevin, the whole point of Valentine's Day is just love, and it is just mainly directed towards you say it's directed towards the people you love, but it's actually towards women. Let's be honest. You say it's give it to the people you love, like mom, dad, brother, sister, your own family. But by default, it is directed for a woman. That's like a preset for your brain. And the day you wake up and you're like, you're single, you go get flowers for your mom.
What does the guy get on Valentine's Day?
Nothing. He just gets noticed a bit more.
It's a guaranteed sex then.
Do you get more Valentine's Day?
I don't know. I've actually been single every Valentine's Day. I've never had a relationship on Valentine's Day. It's been a couple of times where I've been broken up right before though. So, right before. I've done that.
That's better, because if you break up on Valentine's Day, so you're not the devil.
Yeah.
So You know, at least it's better. You cry less, though. You cry, but you cry on both the times, but you cry less if it's before Valentine's
Day. This is now going off the rails, so we cannot... we cannot bring in our guests, man. Let's bring in our guests.
Yeah, bring in our guests, yes! Yes. I don't know if he's single, but yes.
Okay. And Shady, who's our guest?
He is a comedian who I met in Gin and Tonic and a couple of open mics during the pandemic.
Okay.
His name is Mudit. He is an Indian, obviously. That's clear as it gets. The last name is very, very giveaway. Right. And right now he's staying in Hawaii and he's doing a comedy from Hawaii. So I'm very excited to talk to him. We have been in touch. So, yes.
All right, guys. Let's give it up for Mudit Verma.
Mudit Verma.
Yay. Woo!
What's up?
What is up?
What is up, man? What are you doing on Valentine's Day, Mudit?
Yeah.
I am gonna try to
do an open mic.
I don't know. Yeah, do you know what day of the week Valentine's Day falls on?
I think it's a Thursday.
No idea. Let me pull out my fucking phone.
I think it's a Thursday.
Hey Siri, when does Oh fuck, she doesn't even talk to me. She hates me.
Damn, even Siri doesn't even talk to you. Damn.
So. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't respond. Can you believe that?
She definitely won't respond on Valentine's Day. Siri won't.
Even someone who's programmed to respond to you won't even respond.
Yeah,
to you.
Like that.
I am absolutely going to do an open mic.
Yeah.
On Valentine's.
Nice.
That's very nice.
Cool.
So, Mudit, just tell a little bit about yourself for the people of the audio and the video platform suffering through this time zones.
Aloha from Hawaii. I've only lived here for 2 months. Well, it sounds like it, but so I met N Shady in the thick of the lockdown, I believe, like 2020, in that era. Yeah. And I was living at home in Maryland, right near DC, which is also where I started comedy. And then I moved to New York when the rent got very cheap. And my best friend from high school happened to have a bedroom available. And then that came to an end. So I moved back home to Maryland for a month or two. And then I moved to Hawaii. And I'm actively doing stand-up comedy this entire time. With some like social media content creation, so that's my story. Yeah.
Nice. Wow, cool. How are you more relaxed now in Hawaii? I feel like it's probably the best thing on earth, just doing comedy in Hawaii.
I love Hawaii. I visited Hawaii in January of 2022, so a year ago. The reason was because the winter in New York was like really overwhelming. It was just too much.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I was already not a fan, like being from the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia, not like Department of Motor Vehicles.
It's very confusing. When I first heard that, I was like, it is DMV, but no. I know that that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Virginia. So,
the winter in New York like really hit me hard. I was just not ready. Like, I guess it became more bearable when I invested like $200 into a single jacket, which is really not the Indian way.
$200 on a fucking jacket?
Well, yeah, because like, I mean, that was not my first choice. Like, I put on like 4 layers, and it still wasn't enough in New York. And then my Bangladeshi roommate, who also has similar spending tendencies, or in this case, lack of spending,
he
was like, "No, you got to invest into like a I don't know what you call them, a perka, a parka,
parka,
but parka. Like, that's a whole different culture. That's Yeah, I mean, I don't know. A hijab would have helped a little bit in the
right.
Yeah.
So where you work? Are you working right now? Are you just doing full time comedy? Like, what's the scene? Like, I think you are working.
I work a remote job in pharmaceuticals. I work part time, so it gives me a lot of time to create and write and perform.
Wow.
So I work a remote part time job. I have a pharmacy degree. but I don't practice pharmacy. I don't see customers.
You got access to drugs. He's licensed to take drugs.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm not a practicing licensed pharmacist. So I'm just as legal as any other drug dealing comedian on the street. Still
so a normal. Wow. So you can actually give somebody weed and a cop cannot actually say shit to you?
I don't know about that, but like I barely, the best I can do is give someone like a nasal spray if they have like polish. That's how hard I go. That's how I party. You know, like, hey, you need a Zyrtec, Benadryl.
Yeah.
I save money.
So like, what is your like what, how are you writing? Because we all like write differently, right? Like when we're doing comedy, like somebody's on stage. How are you writing?
Yeah. So like, for me, go ahead.
You're writing like on a beach in the, you know, and
yeah, with the coconuts. Yeah. Like, you have coconuts with you because you're, yeah, the coconuts, like
yeah, it's like writing in the sand, asking other people for coconuts. I don't know why. we're just one big happy family. Yeah. And that's the thing. So my writing is not like this sort of sit in one place for many hours and like that kind of writing is maybe like therapeutic to like get my feelings out. You know, I might do that on Valentine's Day, you know, be all up in my
yeah, we all would be, what about you? You're all gonna do it. You're all gonna fucking do it.
Yeah. But I think so. I write on stage, and then off stage, I just talk smack into like my phone for like YouTube Shorts, TikTok, and Instagram, especially YouTube. See, no one knows what YouTube Shorts is, so that gives me the freedom to just say whatever I want into YouTube.
Right.
There's no judgment. No, barely anyone is on there, so like I just kind of just let my mind go, and that's sort of the writing process, and a similar thing with like Twitter, just tweeting bullshit and whatever comes to mind. So it's sort of a mixed bag of what
my it's writing. True. I've actually seen his videos and I've seen his shorts. It's true. He does talk a lot of shit. and it's full authenticity. It's full real. It's not scripted. He genuinely hates things.
Yeah. And it's also not edited. Like, I mean, there's a little bit of like very like little bit of editing, but I let it fly. Like, usually what people consider drafts or like what they privately upload, no, I just let it all out on YouTube Shorts. So
Perfect. Yeah. So that way, because for us, like with our YouTube Shorts, though, like we get like the weirdest comments sometimes on our YouTube Shorts. We're very well aware of the YouTube Shorts.
Yeah, the most bizarre, like these like anonymous accounts, like these incel, like, you know, like video game, like all they do is live stream like Call of Duty and you know, just end subscribers, anime profile picture.
This is a black circle. So,
yeah.
Oh, Kevin, come on.
What? Some of the profiles is a black circle.
Though. Oh, circle. Yeah.
Black circle. Like a hentai princess and like a, I don't know, Pokemon fantasy. Okay.
First of all, don't talk about hentai. Hentai is babe. All right. Just saying, hentai is babe. So, yeah. So Mudit, what you're a Hindu, obviously you're a Hindu. So what religion are you? Like I'm a South Indian. I'm a Hindu South Indian. That's me. What about you?
Oh, you're South Indian?
What? Yeah, I am.
No way.
I'm originally from Bangalore. Bangalore. Okay.
Kevin, what kind of Indian are you?
He's not.
I'm Native American. No. No.
Elizabeth Warren, Native American.
He's not even white. He's not.
No,
even...
I'm actually Puerto Rican. Half Puerto Rican, actually.
Half Puerto Rican, yeah.
Okay. Half Puerto Rican, half Indian. Got
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, of course. My dad would really appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm half white.
So. What about you?
What about you, Mudit?
Yeah.
My parents are from Uttar Pradesh, so I guess that's like a generic North Indian. I don't know what we're known for other than just kind of being there. And then
Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah.
Kevin, can you say Andhra Pradesh?
Wait, say it one more time.
My parents are from Uttar Pradesh.
Yeah, can you say Uttar Pradesh? Uttar Pradesh.
Uttar Pradesh. Uttar Pradesh.
That was pretty good.
Pradesh is good, right? Okay.
Now try saying Trivandrum.
Trivandrum.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that was the last episode, right?
That was the last episode, I know. So Mudit, when did you start your comedy journey? Like, when did you?
I started August of 2019. So it was that summer.
Oh, same time as me.
Oh, really? Nice. Great. Nice. Indians think alike.
Yes. Mine was more depressing, but sure, I'll take it. I had no choice. Yeah. I had no choice.
I mean, my story has had like a layer of depression, but like, I mean, like any comedy start or journey, mm-hmm. right? Like, but for me, it was like I had a friend from college that was doing comedy for a few years, and he was like secretly performing. Like, he didn't tell our friend circle until he got pretty good and produced his own mics and shows. Then he invited us, you know, this is a couple of years before 2019. And then over time, as we were supporting him, our friend circle like poked me or sort of like dared me to give it a try. And I was like, let me graduate first. And then I was like, all right, let me quit my first job. And then I ran into them at a wedding. I had no excuses left. And they just, you know, had me perform at his open mic in 2019. So right. There was this layer of depression where like I was unemployed, living at, you know, my parents' house, just like, which in America is apparently just really bad. But like, yeah.
Wait, you're saying being unemployed in America is really bad? You know about the Indian culture, right? You know how it is, right?
Yeah.
It's a benefit. Being unemployed is a benefit in the Indian Hindu culture. Like, we can right. practically be homeless, jobless, and still mooch off parents.
Yeah, no. You know, we need to brownwash the U.S., you know.
Okay, so Mudit, are you a gamer? Just have to ask you this. Are you a gamer? Because you look like someone who can be gaming sometimes.
Oh, is that, does that mean I'm like?
There's a reason why I asked you, because I'm not going to. Do you enjoy gaming? Like, do you just enjoy, like, you know, just gaming? Just like, do you like it?
For the record, I just came back from the gym, which is why I look a little messy, and I'm wearing like this awful shirt, which can be misconstrued as like, oh, he must be a gamer.
I never get a straight answer to this question. Nobody gives me a straight answer.
Oh, really? That's interesting. It's, okay, so I'll try to give an honest answer. So I try to keep up with the culture of video games, but I don't. Playing video games, I think, for me, takes a lot of time. So all of my video games are at home in Maryland. I didn't pack them here in Hawaii. You know,
You do play. You keep up with the culture. Thank you.
But in Hawaii, I didn't bring
He's
my
in
games.
In Hawaii, why would he play video games? Why would you ever?
I'm just saying, Kevin, shut up. He plays video games.
Why
the point.
Would you not just stay outside?
Shut up. He plays video games, man. That's the answer I wanted. I don't care if he's playing right now or not playing in 10 years.
Yeah,
but he's played. Okay. You never played.
I'll make videos on like memories of video games, and you know, maybe I'll get the stuff shipped over here. But
well, yeah,
I keep up with the culture. You know,
yeah, that's really, yeah. You go a lot of.
Some say that life. We are in a video game right now, so
yeah.
we're all gamers.
Yeah, simulation. Yes.
Simulation. Yes. Yeah. And that's why we like playing with the joystick every once in a while. So
there you go.
Yeah, release this on Valentine's Day.
So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was like, I also have this issue too of like prioritizing like social media and like stage time. Like, do you feel like you are doing stand-up
you know, specifically for social media sometimes, like for like a crowd work clip or something like that, where it's like, oh, this would be good, like on an Instagram reel, or, you know, like, do you feel like you have that issue?
Yeah, so issue with stage time versus social media, I think it's a lot easier to manage here in Hawaii. That, like, this was an issue when I was living in New York, because there were so many open mics, right? Yeah. And you could, I was like drowning in open mics, you know?
Yeah.
And it was especially tough when, like, every open mic was just like other comedians, and if you find yourself going to the same ones, because that can be convenient with like commute, like, then it's like, well, you're not getting a fresh perspective. So that was definitely a challenge in New York. Here in Hawaii, like maybe from experience, and also just like there's not more than two mics or shows, which actually kind of enables me to have time to do social media work. And so here it's pretty balanced. I'm not facing that struggle here in Hawaii. And like you said, like I will be more inclined to post a crowd work clip as opposed to like a written bit. Yeah. You know, something that's spontaneous. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How much of a cutthroat experience is, from a comparative standpoint, Hawaii, New York, and LA?
For sure. So yeah, so I can speak to four scenes, I think. So Hawaii, New York, LA, I've done festivals and some spots there. I haven't actually like resided in LA, but like weeks, I visited like a week at a time. And then the DMV, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Yeah. So Hawaii is like, I'll start with where I'm at. In Hawaii, it's like a lighter and less competitive, more welcoming version of LA. So wow. Hawaii has a lot of stage time.
Mm-hmm. Really? It's crazy.
Yeah, in terms of number of stages, but it's normal for open mics to be like 10 plus minute sets and showcase.
What?
Yeah. Mm. And showcase sets to be like around 15 to 20, maybe more minutes.
I'm going to Hawaii. Fuck this shit. I'm going to Hawaii. Fuck this. I got one.
Right? That's literally what I said. Yeah.
Get Dave 10 minutes. Oh, yeah, open
that's incredible.
That's funny.
And then on top of that, you would have like headliners from LA fly over here, you know, like, so the inside networking, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
To, yeah, if you were living in LA, then you'd have to compete with everyone. Yeah.
But I also feel like what about the audience? I feel like the audience is probably really good, because like you're getting so many tourists, and they're probably like, oh, yes, like I want to do something at night. Yes. Why not go to a comedy show? So you're always getting new crowds.
It's cheaper.
Right?
It's cheap. Yeah, for the tourists, comedy shows is a cheaper night than like other whatever
music
other options
or something like that. Yeah.
Precisely. So in some ways, it's a bit of a hidden gem. And I mean, it's just like a lot more rewarding, I feel like, than New York and LA, and even the DMV. Yeah.
Wow, but New York is a bit more crowded, right? How often would you do spots in New York City? Like, is it at ease in terms of pressure, in terms of, you know, just because sometimes
New York was pretty competitive. I think that I was finding myself traveling a lot outside of New York to get quality spots. A high quality spot in New York, I would do like once a month, I think. I mean, I would do more shows than that, more than once a month, but it'd be like a good quality show. So New York would be a struggle. Yeah.
But I've seen you do perform, like I've seen him perform a lot in Broadway comedy clubs. Most of the clips are from the Broadway comedy clubs, where the jokes, the references, and the audience, it was really good, you know? So that was the 80% of the videos which I saw was based off in Broadway. That's why I wanted to ask, because how cutthroat is it? Because, you know, everybody has to go there. Every brown guy has to go there once. So,
The biggest barrier in New York for me was like, you would have to do a lot of bringer shows. You have to
Same shit with this India. Same thing with this country. Oh, yeah. Same shit. If you don't have a bringer show, you cannot even perform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there are clubs that I can fucking name. I don't want to get canceled right now, mm-hmm. but they have a fucking rule that if you don't get plus one, you cannot perform. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Well, get a girlfriend?
Sometimes here in the US, it might be like
yeah, it's this ridiculous rule of getting an audience. Now it's kind of mellowed down. Now the pressure is not that much, but there are some clubs, and these clubs happens to be. The name happens to have the reputation, right? So they can have this rule. So that's the whole thing, though. But the thing is, how was the timing, though? Let me ask you, mother. Do you get a plus one? So do you get like a peak on the time, or do you not get a peak on the time? Like, if you get a plus one, how much do you get? And if you don't get a plus one, how much do you get?
Plus one meaning like more than the bringer requirement, or
yeah, if you like, for instance, let me give you an example. At least in the clubs I know, if I'm Kevin, if I'm going to any club, right, and if I take a plus one, mm-hmm. instead of if I get a plus one, I get 4 minutes. If I don't get a plus one, I get 3 minutes, and which is bullshit. Okay.
So here in America, if it's a bringer show, right? If you don't bring the amount of people, like, I mean, it depending on the producer, they may or may not put you on stage though. So.
True. Same here.
So
same here.
Yeah, like Broadway Comedy Club, right? There's like a That's show that they run. Like, I think it's called Industry Room, right? Mood It, something like that. There's like some sort of like, yeah. You need 4 people to bring as a bringer show. So
you need 4 people.
You need to bring 4 people. Without, yeah.
What if you just walk in with 2?
So I walked in with 3. I did have a 4th one I was supposed to go, but I only walked in with 3, and I was able to perform because it was a sold out show. There's like one person who brought like 13. It's like overachieving. I don't know why, but
13? How unemployed like is this guy? People.
Like, I mean, is he really unemployed? I don't know who he was, but he was overachieving. Yeah.
What, anyway. He bring his entire family?
I don't know. Somebody brought 13. Anyway, but like, I think that, yeah, you want to at least make an attempt. You don't want to bring like no people. So, and it depends on the producer as well. So
I think I can say like the whole bringer logic is very different in at least in India, where some places where I go, Bandra, I perform mostly in Bandra, which is a very posh place. It's like a cheap LA, mm-hmm. like little bit. So, and it's got a mix of different parts of the world. So in the club I perform, they don't put that pressure. I mean, if you get a plus one, let's say you don't get a plus one, you still get 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get a plus one, you get like, if you get a plus one, you get like 5 minutes. And the best thing about clubs like this, at least in Bandra, when you're performing, people are so nice. People are so lovable. And the clubs there are very, you know, the people there are very Catholic-minded people. I can't believe I'm saying this. Catholic people are very relaxed in terms of just giving and not yelling at people. And at the place I go to, the producer knows me. He knows me. He knows I can get. So by default, he gives me 8 minutes. By default. 7 or 8 minutes tops. Tops. 7 or 8 minutes tops. Not by default. But yeah, so.
So Moody, do you feel like you bring the same people? Or how, because that's really the hard part for a comic, right? It's like bringing somebody and then bringing the same person maybe to other shows. So.
Yeah, I mean, the bringer thing was definitely kind of the bottleneck or the barrier, however you want to say it.
Commit suicide.
the way I strategized was like I made certain bringer shows priorities and then just ignored the majority of them, right? Like, mm-hmm. like, so Kevin, are you based in New York or
I'm based in New Jersey elsewhere? So I've performed in New York, but I mostly do, I'm closer to Philly. So I'm more inclined to tell you about the Philly scene than the New York scene, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So yeah, long story short, for me, like there are basically, from my experience in New York, there were only two bringer shows that are worth for me. Mm-hmm. One is Boston Comedy Club, which is a 10-person bringer.
Right.
10?
Yeah, 10? Did he say 10?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he guy? Yeah. Is a guy medically ill? The person who made the decision medically ill. Does he not have friends?
Speaking of medically ill, the reason I was able to pull off the 10-person bringer is my Bangladeshi roommate is a medical resident, so he would get his coworker.
Indian gets Indians, dude.
Yeah, all of us brown people know each other, so the
it's a community. Like you just So. Yeah. Only a brown guy can cope other brown guys really quickly, you know, like just come bro, like it's like that.
Yeah, and then so the Gotham is 10 people, and it's, you know, amazing stage. And then the industry room for Broadway Comedy Club, the fact that there's like a clear like path of, if you do well, then you're rewarded between 1 and 8 like club spots where you don't have to bring.
Same here, open spots. We call this the open spots. It's called the open spot. So that's what we call it here in India, where you transition from an open mic to semi-open spots where you're paying for your spots. I mean, I don't know if you paid, but we have to pay as a comedian. We end up paying for our spots if you're doing for a particular time. And if you're good, you get longer minutes. But once you start getting recognized and people start loving you, you get an open spot where you're not paying for your spot. Mm-hmm. You know, you just come in, perform it, and fucking off. That's what every comedian wants. But I mean, I can say you also paid, right? You paid for your spots as well. I mean, I mean, it's a shitty thing to do, but it's like an investment for your business. That's what I would say. It's an investment. Yeah. So yeah.
Yep. If only producers did more marketing. That would be nice. Yeah. That would be nice if they did more marketing. That way we could have less. And that way they actually, you know,
imagine the amount of money I've spent over the years. I still do till today. Sometimes in some places. I spent so much money. If I would have literally invested that on a girl, I wouldn't be this amazing. So I'm so grateful. Sorry, I did not have said it that way. But
so Mudit, are you also doing acting as well? Is that something you're also trying to pursue, or?
Yeah. So I just 1 week ago, today's Tuesday, I did my first ever, like, I don't know, like, so I did background work on NCIS.
What? Oh, shit. That's awesome.
I've never done that before.
What's that?
NCIS is a TV show. It's like a forensic TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a single episode, except for like YouTube clips, to prepare for the background.
Yeah.
Wow. So was it like a celebrity moment? Like we get like, you know, like when you...
I don't know if it was a celebrity moment because I didn't like... I'm sure there were some prestigious actors or entertainment people on set, but like I didn't recognize them. And this was like also like in comedy, like in stand-up comedy in New York, like there'd be like really prestigious, if not famous, like comedians walking in and out. But I wouldn't always recognize them or know who they are. So in between,
So you're doing background work. So you didn't have any lines, right? You're just maybe you're just a passerby. Is that the background? Yeah.
No. What do you do in the background work? Like what do you normally?
So that the role was a club goer, so like a nightclub attendee.
Oh.
So that okay. I don't know. Maybe they thought I was Middle Eastern or something. But
like, oh my god, such a racist thing to assume.
Yeah, so I basically like dressed like a douchebag in like a purple button down, and was like fist pumping and like drinking.
Oh yeah,
like, yeah. Okay. They put water in like a beer bottle. And
Oh, like a background artist. You were the background artist. That's what they call it. Yeah. You were the background artist. The camera pans around and shows the main guy and everybody in the background to cover the entire scene, right? Am I getting it right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
So, background artist. That's that. You're on the camera. That's all that matters.
Exactly. You're on the camera. It's a credit. Credit. Like
it's a credit.
Now I'm going to bring up Mudit. Yeah. Be Mudit from NCIS now.
NCIS.
Yeah. So I mean, it was great. I was like nervous just because I don't like, you know, it was the first time. I don't know how cutthroat they were, but they were pretty chill. And it was a good experience. So I plan on doing that. Yeah.
So where do you want to take it? Do you want to take it to comedic acting or drama acting or both? Where do you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I think that. The stand-up comedian in me, like when I went to festivals in LA, so like Burbank Comedy Festival, Flappers, and then Comedy Chateau Festival, which is in North Hollywood, like they kept on, like, I don't know how to say this, but like every comedian was also an actor.
Yeah, right.
I basically, yeah, I concluded that like your like TV credit, streaming credit, film credit, like that feeds into your comedy career. Mm-hmm, so it's kind of this like reductionist, like I, basically in my mind, it's like I'll grind the acting world. Like I'll do that grind so long as it can feed into like my stand up growth. So I would just say that I'm an open book when it comes to like acting opportunities. I guess it's inherently fun too, but like I think the angle is more so how can this help my stand up growth and like better bookings mm-hmm. and stuff like
that. Right. I always felt that, you know, acting and comedy is two different worlds, but there is a link in terms of dialogue and delivery mm-hmm. because you get more exposure doing stand up than acting. And like, because this is something which I've noticed, because I used to do acting and in the Bollywood industry is so different. So you go for auditions every single day, you know, there's a dedicated place, right, in Andheri side. So you go there. I used to go there every single day and get auditions every single day. You find like a shitload of people just standing there from fucking 10 a.m. till night, 11 p.m. outside production houses, you know, smelling like pigs, right? And I used to ignore that because there's a lot of models also walking in. So I got distracted. So, and the day I switched I just did stand up. And I realized the frequency of getting noticed is quicker here, because you don't know who's going to be sitting in an audience. He can be a director, producer. He can be a casting director in a comedy club. So that's the whole advantage of being as a comedian, because you don't have to find these people. They'll just come to you, right? So and they just recognize your shit. Oh, he's funny, he's a comedian, can he also act, you know, like that. So then you can like, it's easy, you know. So that's what I always thought from an exposure standpoint. But yeah, but that's my take. I mean, both of them are just two different worlds.
Yeah,
I agree. Like, so when I was meeting the other background actors, so there was about like 20 of us, like club goer background actors, and I'm sure like the rest of them, like some of them were in like, I don't know, modeling or influencer mm-hmm. branding. Like I felt, I mean, this might sound like, so there were no, first of all, there were no other comedians like at this acting gig. And so when we all like followed each other on Instagram, and they just didn't have the same quantity of content. Like I have just like a library of clips. Like they had like one post every few months. So I did feel that comedy gave me some substance and like some dimension to
That is a weightage you get being a content writer as a comedian, because if you have so much to talk about, then you can play around with doing comedy or acting, because, you know, comedic acting or just acting is almost, you know, same thing, you know. So that's a great thing about being a writer, because if you're doing comedy, I always said this though, if you are a comedian, you are everything. You're a writer, producer, actor, director. You are everything, you know, that you're just that one globe of everything. I want to give this reference. It's an Indian reference, but the Indian audience will get it. It's like you're the Salman Khan.
Okay.
He's known as the Thai. Salman Khan. Just for the Indian people listening to the audience, if you guys already know this, but the American people, Salman Khan happens to be the Bhai, like Bhai as in like the bro of Bollywood, right? He's like the one man army, you know. Okay. Nobody fucks with this guy. So like he does it all. Oh, you know, that's the vibe. So that's why that was a reference over there.
So he's like Kevin Hart. Is he like the Kevin
Hart? No, Kevin Hart's way better. So
okay. So were you acting in Hawaii or were just in LA? The NCIS.
Oh, this last week here in Hawaii.
Is there like a lot of acting gigs in Hawaii then? Or I'm trying to think, like, is there a lot of movies filmed in Hawaii or?
Yeah. So let's see. Okay. So in Hawaii, I like, it's hard to say like how, if there are a lot or not, like I'm trying to think, cause I don't have a frame of reference anywhere. Like, so I didn't do acting anywhere else, like not in DC, New York, not in LA. Mm-hmm. What I can say is that Hawaii has like maybe three or four TV shows that are constantly going. So there's NCIS, like the Hawaii version. Yep. There's Magnum PI. There are a couple of things. There are a couple other programs that are like constantly like never ending or something I think when I was thinking about where to move to, I was either going to move to LA or Hawaii, because I'm just not a fan of winter and cold weather. And basically, like, I figured, like, I'll start with the Hawaii, not only comedy scene, but acting scene to, like, get my feet wet, take risks, make mistakes, and kind of learn, have some frame of reference before.
Absolutely.
Like, I do anticipate moving to LA, like, later on, like, down the road in the future. It's just a matter of, like, when specifically. But, so I would say, I mean, I was like moderately persistent with emails and submitting like casting info. So it's like, it's called Oahu casting. So the island I'm on is Oahu. And, there's an Instagram handle, Oahu casting, which posts the announcements of, roles and what demographic they're looking for. So as long as you keep up with and submit the materials, like they ask for photos and your information.
Yeah.
And then you might get an email back.
The whole thing happens online. It's an online transaction.
In terms of the casting and like that preliminary process.
We gotta ask the important questions which we forgot to ask. How's your wine checks and how are they doing? And did you meet any? And did you have the coconuts?
So by chicks, you mean like we're talking about the egg crisis, right? Like the hens and roosters.
Yeah, you can say that. Fine.
We're trying to get them to reproduce. You know, like we're trying. Get them to pick.
We colors. Asked this question in the beginning of the podcast. I was so kind enough to wait for this end, right? I was waiting. We had the great conversation about everything. I want to ask my type of question. Kevin always get pissed off that I'm asking.
You can ask your types of questions. Go ahead.
So how's that? Why?
How's dating?
How's dating in Hawaii?
How's dating in Hawaii?
And how did you go aloha on somebody?
Here's the thing. It exists, right? Like I'm on the apps, applications, not appetizers. I'm on the apps. And I get matches and I've been on a couple of dates. I think that, but if you look at dating as a numbers game, New York might be better. There's more people. There's a comedian here that is a native New Yorker that moved here for work, and we were talking about that actually. We live on an island, so like everyone knows everyone's business. The whole island, we all sleep on the same bed, so it's like we know who's. I'm just kidding.
One big pile. On the bed.
Got it.
But honestly, like, I don't know. Like, I've met women from countries that I initially never heard of.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of tourists that go to Hawaii, so it's very tough. I think probably to find like a long term. So because locals are there though, like there's not there a lot of locals in Hawaii because it feels like
because it's a lot of variety since it happens to be a very tourist place. It seems like a variety.
That's a good point. So actually, that was actually a barrier. Like everyone, I mean, this might be a challenge for like straight males because we just odds are never in our favor, right? So the barrier, like. On all of the dating app profiles, it's like only looking for like long-term transplants or locals, like no tourists, no like hookups, no flings. And wow. I guess so I've lived here since like November, late November. And so I would have to really like on the couple of dates I've been on and some of the conversations, like I would have to really emphasize that, yo, I live here. I'm not just a vacationing.
Yeah. So they assume that you're a tourist, like when they meet you.
Yeah. What the
fuck? Yeah. But what are the dating apps do you use in Hawaii? Is it different than the one, like, do you have Tinder, Bumble, Hinge? Do you have something like that?
I think it's all the same stuff. Like personally, I use Hinge and then Facebook dating widget, like built into the app.
Wow.
Save that memory, phone memory. But it's also free. Facebook dating is also free.
It's free. No paywall. It is free. Yeah, no, it is.
There's no paywall. There's no cap. They don't even have a paid feature. Yeah.
Thank you, Zuckerberg. Like, finally, you did something.
Zuckerberg just has all your dating preference. That's the only it's free, but he doesn't care.
You're doing community service. Be happy.
I mean, I think, you know, dating in Hawaii exists, but I think there are challenges, like the whole tour thing, the fact that we're all on an island, and those would be the main challenges, you know, just kind of there's limits here and there. So, yeah.
Have you been to the national parks in Hawaii? Cause that's where I went. I haven't been to national parks. I really want to go though. Just for that.
Yeah. I have not been. I've done so little like, exploring.
Yeah.
It's all been comedy and the recent acting gig. So mm-hmm.
Finding the time is a bitch.
Yeah.
It's a bitch. I'm just gonna close on this topic. I can just say one last thing. I'm going on a date. Not today. But I'm going on a date. Maybe not next year. I'm going on a date a week from now. Like when the episode comes out, just remember, like, it's like, but I'm going on a date with this girl, like maybe like 4 or 5 towards the weekend. So I met her outside this club.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing there, okay, and I approached her. I said hello because her zipper was open. The bag zipper was open, okay? So then I close the bag zip and I have something to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Bag. Shut up, Modern.
I said bag.
All right. So close the zipper. I have something to talk about. And then I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, hey, hi. So can I ask you a question? Like, yeah, what's up? Do you find it weird that a comedian has to just be funny and get women? Because I got anxiety attacks. That's why, you know. Is it weird that if you're a comedian, you can't talk to women? It's like, yeah, that's rare. So yeah, that's me though. I can handle women in a comedy club, but when it comes to face to face, my balls drop more quicker than a bunch of donuts and roll down the stairs. So and she starts giggling like, oh my god, I'm a yoga instructor, and then boom, we start making, you know, conversation. So and I'm meeting her. So what I'm trying to say is I've invented this pickup line where I'm just being honest about how shitty I am with women, and I say it and it's true. And they find it funny when I do it in a narrative way of just self-deprecating joke. So I've been experimenting with that. It works. It really works, and I can't lie about that. It's true. So she's like, she was like saying that, oh, this conversation will be more interesting over the coffee, don't you think? I was like, damn, I didn't ask for that.
So guys, just tell women how terrible you are dating, and you will get a lot of dates. Apparently,
I've tried everything, Kevin. All right, it's the last resort. This is like the last resort for me. I've tried everything. I've tried to be a flashy guy, funny guy. I'm gonna be a real guy. Like, I'm gonna accept what I cannot do. Right, you know, just suck in picking up women. There so yes.
I'm gonna
podcast. We'll start with Mood It. What did you learn?
What did you learn in the podcast? Yes.
Oh, well, what I learned now is, like, when in doubt on a date, I would just ask myself, what would N. Shady do? That.
But, no.
Yes. Yes.
To women. Yeah. Well, I learned that N. Shady is South Indian. I actually did not expect that. I learned that Kevin might be Indian, and that's up for debate.
I haven't done the 23andMe. Maybe I'm like three. Right? Yeah, I don't know. I'll check it. So.
Check that shit, yeah.
I learned that India does bringer shows. I guess with the population, it makes sense. So
you have to.
Yeah.
Those are my main takeaways.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Shady?
Okay, so I learned that Hawaii is a great place to find multiple people and still get judged because of your color. And I also learned that you can also be a pharmaceutical doctor and still love gaming at the same time. So sure. And I also learned that you have to comedy, it doesn't always revolve around stage time, it also revolves around camera time. So you need to, like, so you gotta balance balance both it out, because you don't know, you just want to be noticed, so you might as well expand. That's my take. What about you, Kevin?
So I learned that Hawaii seems like a really cool place, especially for comedy. Like, you get, like, a lot of stage time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
There's no 10-minute open mics here at all. So, that's absolutely insane. So, none.
No, seriously.
Yeah. I realized that that Mude is gonna be like a famous actor one day. So this is start as a background actor at CSI. He's gonna be a big star one day, you know. So and what's that learn? Yeah, man. I mean, that's pretty much what I learned. I mean, yeah. Also, right. Like, yeah, and Shady trying to date. That's a whole other thing. Like, he always tries to.
Okay, that's a spontaneous brag which just happened. I just want to put it out there.
And then, like, on the next episode, he's gonna be like, "Oh yeah, that girl, she didn't call me back."
No. This is happening. I'll keep you guys updated on that. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Keep us updated on the yoga girl.
Going on a date, update it.
Update it. Yes. Update. So, all right. Mood it. Where can we find?
Where can people find you? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm on all social media at I like to mood it. That's the number two, because so I like to mood it on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and then YouTube. It's youtube.com/mooditverma. So it's just my first and last name on YouTube. Yep. That's where you can find me. Yeah.
Cool. And the name was on purpose, right? The I like to move it. I like to move it. On purpose, right? Okay.
He literally said the song, I like to move it.
I want to make sure. Like, I was that. Thinking, like, yeah, 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 yeah. I want to make sure on purpose. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm getting copyright right now.
Anyway, I always think of the movie Madagascar when I hear
it. Yeah, man.
Good, yeah.
I would just go back to that movie only for that song. That's it. And just the beef between those two, the king and his jester. Just talk the conversation between these two.
Cool. All right, everybody. That's the podcast.
Podcast.
Make sure you guys share podcast.
Yeah,
comment on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And make sure that you follow us all three of us on Instagram,
yep.
and every social media. Also check us out on Facebook. We are on Facebook as well.
We are on Facebook.
So yeah, we do think that we only trying to get, you know, one, you know, no, we want to get Zuckerberg from every angle. So we're gonna get Instagram, we're gonna get Facebook, right? We're gonna get deep in the metaverse, right, whatever the verse it is. So follow us in every, you know, yeah. And please comment in the video. Please send us email. Do we have email, right, Kevin?
We do have email. hangovercomedypodcast@gmail.com. So if you have any questions, any guests you guys
ideas, come, yeah, anything ideas, you want us to talk about, or you guys want to come in, anything at all, more than welcome.
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. All right. That's the podcast. So
take care. Peace.
See you next one.